on Hard Facts. I don't just bring you the news, I bring you the newsmakers.
Consul General of the U.S. Consul General in Lagos, giving her first ever interview in Nigeria. Claire Pierangelo.
They come to me because they know Lagos is listening.
I love the way you engage Nigeria, especially with these people who are called to supremacist Nigeria. They still be among Nigerians than you and I.
We talk to the newsmakers.
The Special Assistant to the President on Digital and New Media, Tolu Ogunlesi. Frank Mba has just walked into the studio. Yawande Sadiku. Yawande is the Executive Secretary of NIPC, the Nigeria Investment Promotion Council. The Senior Special Assistant to President Muhammadu Buhari on Public Affairs, Mr. Ajuri Ngelale.
We talk to captains of industry.
She's the founder and CEO of Tomato Joss, one of Nigeria's biggest agro-industrial businesses. Her name is Mira Mehta. He's been selected for Forbes 30 Under 30. His name is Eniolua Aboyeji.
We talk to the experts.
He's the chief economist at Business Day. He's a big friend of the show. Don't so be clean.
He's the head of the Department of Molecular Biology and Biotechnology at the Nigerian Institute of Medical Research, NIMR. Dr. Bamidele Walofo.
And we talk to you.
I found Mr. Usman through Hard Facts. He's a listener. He sent us a WhatsApp message when we were talking about the scanners at the port.
Give me your afternoon and I'll give you the answers.
How can we get all 36 states to domesticate the VAP Act? How can we get all 36 states to domesticate the VAP Act? That's the question that this roundtable is answering, which is why it's titled Roadmap to 36 States. Lagos, if you just tuned in, I'm Sandra Ezekwesile. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. We're streaming live on Facebook, so you can watch my guests on today's roundtable on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3, YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. Now, the VAP Act is the Violence Against Persons Prevention Act. It's a law passed by the National Assembly 6 years ago to protect Nigerians from different types of violence, including gender-based and domestic violence. Since then, those who fought to get the VAP Act passed have still been fighting, this time to get all 36 states to domesticate the law. And today we want to talk about that mission. We want to talk about what more needs to be done to get all 36 states on board. So for the rest of the hour, we're going to be talking to some of the people on the front line of this effort. And then we're also going to hear from you, Lagos. Our first panelist is the country director of Global Citizen, Maymuna Maibe. Welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you very much.
Our second guest is Special Assistant in the Office of the Senior Special Assistant to the President on SDGs, Rose Kefas. Welcome to Hard Facts. I think she's going to join us eventually. Well, next we have the essay to the Speaker of the House on gender, Fatima Kakuri. Welcome. And our next panelist is the Managing Director, Our Way Forward, Hamid Abubakar. Welcome to the show. I think perhaps they're speaking, but their mics are muted, and so they cannot, so they're not responding. All right. Well, we also have the Executive Director, Stand to End Rape, on the show. Oluwaseun Ayodeji Oshoobi, welcome. Good to have you join us. And thank then you. We have on the panel as well, an actor and SBGV advocate, Dakore Akande. Hopefully she joins us before the show's over. And finally, we have the founder of the Spring Center, Damola Lapite. Welcome.
Thank you for having me on board.
Lagos, you've heard, this is a very knowledgeable panel. We've got big shots on the show today, and they have very direct involvement in the roadmap to universal VAP Act domestication. So this is going to be a great conversation, and you can join in as well. 01465-7190 for women. For men, 0700-993-993-993. Let's have your questions about the VAP Act. Let's have your questions about the road to 36. Let's also hear your views about the root causes of domestic and gender-based violence and your ideas about how to root them out in our society. WhatsApp is available. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. We're streaming live on Facebook, Nigeria Info FM, and we're streaming live on YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. I'll start with Fatima. Fatima, let me start with Global Citizens because, you know, they are the champions of this. So let's start with Maymuna, my bae first, and then we'll come to Fatima. But before we get into it, so talk to us about Global Citizens' mission, Maymuna.
Thank you very much. Global Citizen, I would just give you a background as an organization, what we do, and then the road to 36 as well. Global Citizen is an global advocacy organization. It's a movement of engaged citizens essentially using their collective voice to end extreme poverty by 2030. As you know, GBV is a very important part of what we do and our work in Nigeria. Our goal, especially for GBV in Nigeria, is to realize a greater gender equality in Nigeria by getting Violence Against Persons Prohibition Act, as you said, that was signed in 2015, domesticated in all 36 states. We have, as an organization, the power to convene global citizens around the world and also partners in civil society, private sector, and policy to have this very difficult but necessary conversations, like domesticating the VAP Act. What we've done today is really to start off the conversation by bringing in organizations that are in the forefront of the work in domesticating the Violence Against Persons Prohibition Bill, like our local hero, Winnaud Oluwaseun, that won the first Global Citizen Local Hero Award in 2020 last year, and also our other partners across policy and across private sector and other civil society organizations, for us to really have a deep dive conversation on what's currently going on, the current status of the Violence Against Persons Prohibition Bill, how many states have domesticated it, how many states are left to domesticate it, and what we need to do as a collective to make sure that these conversations are had, and also make sure that conversations are productive enough that we're engaging both the federal government and also the state government in what we're trying to achieve.
Now, to help us frame the conversation, Fatima, could you help us? Could you give us an overview of what the VAP Act sets out to achieve and what some of its key provisions are? Fatima? Doesn't look like we have Fatima still.
Hello, can you hear me?
Now we can, yes.
Can you hear me?
Now we can, yes.
Okay,
looks like Fatima's network is bad.
All right, so, sorry, can you... can you repeat that?
It looks like your internet is bad. Your internet connection seems to be pretty bad.
Okay, I'm going to try to swap networks and then dial in back.
Okay, great. So let's talk to Rose then. Rose Kafes, is she here yet? Okay, doesn't look like Rose is here either. Well, I guess I can come to Oluwaseun then, because, you would help us with that first question about what the VAP Act sets out to achieve and what some of its key provisions are. And then you'll talk to us about the states that have domesticated VAP, which ones are still yet to do it. Tell us a bit about the journey to getting it domesticated in those states as well. Seung? Oluwaseun, can you hear me?
Thank you, Sandra. Okay. So the violence is person. Yes, I can. Hi, Sandra.
Hi. Okay. So it seems everyone's
okay. Just so you could hear me.
Okay, just go ahead. I think the network is pretty bad today. I don't know if it's from our end in the studio or from your end. I don't know what's happening.
You would hope that should hear me. For 2015 and physical violence, domestic violence, internal violence.
Okay, so that's not working out. So we're going to give Ayo's network some time to fix up. Let's try and see if Hamid's network cooperates. Hamid, let's see if your network is much better than Ayo and Fatima's. Are you still there, Hamid? Okay, so let's try.
Hello, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Fantastic. So yours is working great. So let's get into it, right? Okay. So give us an overview of what the VAP Act sets out to achieve and what some of its key provisions are.
So the VAP Act is actually a hugely important piece of legislation executed at the federal level.
Mm-hmm.
And it seeks to eradicate violence against people, essentially, all people. Of course, it is. It's positive. We would like to see it positively lean towards vulnerable groups of people, so in particular, women and children. It was passed. I believe it was passed in 2015. It has been domesticated in 28 states only. So we still have a handful of states to go. The importance of domesticating it is because even though it is a federal piece of legislation, and perhaps for those who are not clued up on legislative matters, a federal piece of legislation must be adopted and implemented at subnational levels, national level being the states. So that law is automatically implemented in the federal capital territory, Abuja. However, the various legislators of the various states across Nigeria need to do their own work in terms of reviewing the piece of legislation and then adopting it, adapting it, amending perhaps maybe relevant laws that may exist, but preferably actually adopting the new configuration and framework as per the VAP Act that was adopted by the National Assembly and signed off by the President. So that's where we are right now. And I don't need to belabor the point, but I think we can all agree that violence against persons, whether they are female, male, children, they do not contribute to the. They do not contribute. Violence does not contribute positively to the socioeconomic development of a nation. So, aside from the social justice perspective, there is also. And I'm speaking perhaps maybe because I wear a private sector hat mostly, but the economic and quite frankly productivity component to it, which I think the various state governments that are yet to adopt it need to really consider quite seriously, so they can get to a point where they are able to execute the adoption in their own subnationals.
Now, I've heard the argument, and this is a question I would like to ask Damola. Hopefully her network is great. But I've heard the argument that domestication by states isn't necessary, Damola, because once a federal law is passed, the police in any state can arrest and charge people for violating it, and federal courts can try them. Damola, is this assessment accurate? If it's not accurate, accurate, what obstacles does non-domestication of a law create?
Okay, thank you very much. It's going to be a huge stumbling block.
Okay.
Because we work in a federation. Each state is supposed to be individual, not that the federal government or this national assembly makes laws for the state. Now, let me give you one instance. Because if the national assembly has made a law and the police feel that they can arrest based on it, some crimes are not to be taken to the federal high court. There are crimes that are for the state. And as long as the crimes are for the state, you should use laws that belong to the state. And aside that, if you look at the domesticated violence against persons prohibition laws,
Damola,
can you hear me?
Yes, we can. I think you muted yourself accidentally.
They were fashioned to suit each state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were fashioned to suit each state. And so you have to look at the peculiarity of each.
Hello, Damola?
I can hear you.
Yes.
Can you hear
me? Go ahead. Yeah, your mic keeps getting muted. So that's why I have to call your attention to it. But go ahead. Yeah.
So the case is that each state must domesticate for it to be functional state. And you need to, if you look at the Violence Against Persons Act, you see that they would be referring to the National Assembly. They'll be referring to issues with the Minister of the the Women Affairs Ministry and all that. So you have to particularize it. You have to domesticate it. You have to consider the things that you have so that the law would be applicable in each state. So it won't be correct if we say that the Violence Against Persons Act would cover for the state. The problem we'll have is if we say, let's do it like that, you see that the day that law does not work for any top individual in the state, they will contest it and it will be thrown out and the person will go free.
Okay. I wonder if this is something that Maimuna agrees with or if she has a contrary opinion. Maimuna?
Hi. I completely agree with what Damola has said. I think it's very important for us to kind of make sure that each state domesticates it as well. There are local nuances that we need to pay attention to. That could be religious or cultural, right?
Hmm.
And also we need to make sure that the implementation is localized as well. Certain community needs are taken into place. So yeah, I completely agree. It's good to have it on a national level where the federal government has, I know have constituted a committee, I think it was last year, to look into the VAP Act and to see if certain things need to be updated as well, which is a great lead from the federal government, but also domesticating it from a state level, making sure we engage as a civil society group, engage the policymakers in the Houses of Assembly in those states to understand the importance of domesticating it and also to make sure that when that is done, there's certain facilities and response centers available for survivors to be able to get the help that they need. And training and certain education for law enforcement and other agencies are very important as well.
Lagos, if you just tuned in, it's 20 minutes past 5. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You just heard from the country director of Global Citizen, Maimuna Maibe. She's on the show with us today. We also have available on the show the managing director, Our Way Forward, Hamid Abubakar. We also have the executive director, Stanton N. Rape, Oluwaseun Ayodeji Oshobi. We have the founder of the Spring Center, Damola Lapite, on the show with us as well. We have other guests who have joined, but unfortunately their networks are not cooperating. I'm speaking specifically about the SA to the Speaker of the House on Gender, Fatima Kakuri. Hopefully she's able to rejoin us and we can have this conversation with her alongside actor and SGBV advocate Dakorak Kande, who will also be joining us before the show is done. Shehu, let's try again. I'm talking about Lua Shehu now. Let's try again with the network. Let's hope that it works out this time. But what are the next steps for the remaining states? Like I mentioned earlier on, we've got 28 states, 8 states to go. What can people who live in those states do, the states where it hasn't been domesticated yet? What are the next steps for them? Ayo?
So is your question for states that have adopted or
that haven't? The states that haven't adopted it yet.
That haven't. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Global Citizen. Okay. So Global Citizen has an online petition asking people to sign to ensure that their state houses of assembly actually adopt this law. So people can actually sign on there. You can also call, you know, their state legislators representing them to ask what they are doing about the law, get them interested in it, get, you know, one of them to sponsor the bill, because somebody has to sponsor it in the House. So get one of them to sponsor it. If the person doesn't understand the context of the law, they are experts on this score. You can, you know, provide expertise regarding the importance of the law. But, you know, you can engage your representatives at the local level, get them to introduce the bill, continue to create awareness about it and get it passed. But that's not where the work ends, because some states have actually passed the VAP Act, but they are yet to, the governor is yet to sign it into law. That's another phase of advocacy. So you can ensure to, you know, engage your representatives again, to engage the governor, to ensure that, you know, the governor signs that bill into law when it's passed before the House. Another thing that can be done basically is to continue to have conversations around it. The State of Emergency GBV is a coalition of civil society organizations that is actually fighting. I wouldn't say fighting, because it seems like a violent thing to do, but it's engaging, you know, states to adopt this law. And what they are doing is they've created something called All of Shame, where states that are yet to adopt the law are put under pressure. So I think individuals can also post, you know, that flyer on their pages, on, you know, social media accounts, Facebook, Instagram, wherever it is that they can post it, to really put, you know, their state under pressure. I know one state, for instance, I won't mention the state.
Why not? Mention flyer, the state.
Okay, so
name and shame.
Right? And when the governor's wife had seen the flyer, she was a bit perturbed by it and, you know, started having conversations in her state as to why, you know, the bill should be passed, because it puts their state in bad light.
Right.
So those kind of, you know, quick wins are quite important, and citizens can actually hold their state House of Assembly and, you know, governors accountable to ensure it is not only passed at that local assembly, but also signed into law and implemented.
Lagos, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we still have Dakore Akande, who's joined us now, by the way, via Zoom. Hi, Dakore. Good to have you on the show.
Thank you. Sorry I'm late. I just rushed off from set.
It's okay. So when we come back from the break, we'll hear from her. We'll hear from hopefully other members of this panel who are still going to join or who are already here. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. How can we get all 36 states to domesticate the VAP Act? Global Citizen carrying this matter on their head. Don't miss it when we come back. Yes, we are. It's 5:39. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. How can we get all 36 states to domesticate the VAP Act? You can join this conversation by dialing 01465-7190 and 0700-993-993-993. We've got stakeholders championing this cause on the front lines on the show with us today. First up is the country director of Global Citizen. They're the reason we're having this conversation today. Maimuna Maibesh is here. We also have the actor and advocate against sexual and gender-based violence on the show with us as well. I'm talking about Dakore Akande. We also have the managing director, Our Way Forward, Hamid Abubakar here. And we have the executive director, Stand to End Rape, Oluwaseun Ayodeji Oshoobi. And we have the founder of the Spring Center, Damola Lapite. And they've all spoken so well about what the VAP Act is, what Global Citizen's mission is. They've talked about how these other states, how we can get these other states to domesticate the VAP Act, the 8 states that haven't. Because, I mean, it's 28 down, right? And 8 states to go. I'm curious what Damola Lapite thinks the strategies are that people could adopt to force their states to adopt it. But before we get to that, since we have Dakore here, I want to talk to her about public awareness. So public awareness and engagement is often the key to change in policy, right? How much public buy-in do you think exists for the VAP Act? What do you think needs to be done to get the public more involved in applying pressure for it, Dakore?
Yes, thank you so much, Sandra. And thank you, everyone, Global Citizen. Thank you for getting us all together to talk about this. Honestly, I think there's not enough awareness of the VAP Act, and we need to just do more in that area. So even just having this radio, you know, interview on radio is so powerful, you know, it reaches so many people. So I think we need to use every existing avenue to get the word out so that people are aware, because I've been working in this arena since about 2016, when we did the Orange the World campaign with the UN. And that was where I first started getting firsthand knowledge about what was going on, you know, and what is continuing to go on in our society, unfortunately. I feel like we've become very numb as a people. We hear stories every day, almost every day, about a girl being raped or being assaulted, and it's become like normal. And that's really bad, you know, like, and we need to just have more awareness, radio, television, movies, music. There needs to be just a lot more awareness. And I think, you know, we just need to do more. I noticed that Bayelsa State, which is my state of origin, is one of the states that haven't signed the bill. So that's on me to make sure I get it to our governor's ears. Not to say that, I mean, it's not like I could just call him on the phone, but, you know, to try to put pressure generally, you know, I think we all have a responsibility. The statistics are staggering. I mean, you know, one in three girls, you know, under the age of 15 has been raped by the time she's 15 years old. I mean, this is ridiculous. It's unacceptable. And even COVID actually made it even worse, you know. And if you see on my page, like, I think personally, we just have to take it up, because, you know, and it's not up to us, just us as people in the public eye, even anyone, you know, it takes all of us to make a movement. You know, and we've done a lot, you know, in terms of trying our best. A few of my colleagues and I, we go every year, we go to Abuja, we sit together, we talk about things. I work with the EU on sexual and gender-based violence, you know, so this is something that I'm very passionate about. I mean, I'm a woman. I know all the type of stigma that we have to deal with, you know, in a patriarchal society where, you know, we don't really have voices, but we're fighting, you know. And somebody, you know, said fighting. Yes, we have to fight it, because it's an evil, you know. It's a clear and present danger for all of us as women. We're not safe, you know, and that's a problem. You know, you should be safe in your home, but you're not even safe in your home. You know, the man that you say you honor and love and cherish is hitting you, and hitting you in front of your children, and your daughters are watching that and thinking that that is acceptable. It's psychological, it's mental, it's psychosocial, it's a cultural malaise. And we really need to take it seriously. You know, I have two daughters and I want them to inherit a society that respects women. So at the fundamental level, there is a disrespect of the feminine. There's a disrespect of us as people. We're looked at as less than. That's why, how can it be that it's only in 2015 that the VAP law, I mean, kudos to President Jonathan for doing that, but that tells you how ingrained it is that women are less than, that women are not to be trusted, not to be respected, not to be even treated like a human being. Look at FGM, VVF, you know, there's so many things, you know, and for me, it just hurts my heart. And that's why anytime I get opportunity to talk about this, I must talk about it, because, you know, we don't talk enough about, and this is our problem in this country, we don't talk enough about the things that really matter. You know, we're so blinded by, you know, just how horrible it is just to make a living from day to day. We're inundated with so many problems, but we mustn't neglect this, because the future of our children, our female, and even our males. And I love the fact that the VAP law also includes the males, because there's so many boys that are also abused, and abused people will abuse others. So whether it be boy, whether it be girl, whether it be man, woman, nobody should be abused. And we should have laws in place and are implemented. Because another problem with us is that we have laws. We have laws from here to tomorrow. But are they implemented? That's another issue entirely. But let's start with the laws. I remember even the gender equality bill hasn't been passed. It's sat in two readings. Oh my God. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go off, but you know, oh man.
It's okay.
It's painful. It's okay. Painful.
It's okay. It's allowed. But let me come to Damola next. Damola, what are some of the roles that the private sector can play in these issues?
Okay, thank you. Basically, for me, I believe that this kind of fight can be pushed majorly by the private sector. Quite frankly, I don't really see government doing much with this thing. Being civil servants or being political heads, they're just not particular about some of these issues. The issues that they bother about would be, oh, funding. We don't have funding for this. We don't have funding for that. And with the COVID-19 and the reduction in income for the states, now they got excuses. But, you know, for the private sector, you always have a way of doing things. You always have a way of forging partnerships. You always have a way of getting support from each other to get things done. A private sector member could choose to go all out, do a campaign, and eventually not spend a dime. But when you come to government, the same thing you have done basically for free, you see that there's going to be a huge budget to go all out and do all those things, and eventually you won't get anything done. So, for me, it's the private sector that can move it. The private sector needs to do more. The private sector never closes. Government closes. Maybe there was 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. And, you know, these things don't tell you when they are coming up. I've had to be called out from my house at 12:30 in the middle of the night to go and attend to a case. Mm. If it's the government that is handling it, there won't be anybody in the office. Mm. So you see that some of these things need the private sector. In fact, a lot of them. Look at what Ayodeji is doing. Mm-hmm. If she were in the government circle, probably after getting all the trainings and every other thing, she'll be transferred away from the place where she got the training. Mm. She's taken to another place. Mm. But nobody's going to transfer her away from where she is now. Mm. There are a lot of issues with thinking that the government can do it. It's the work of the private sector. The private sector are the ones that can then drag the government to work on it. The beauty of it is that the successes that we have experienced with this VAP is because the private sector have moved it. If we had left it with the government, probably just the federal government would have passed it.
Ayo, do you agree that this is something the private sector needs to get involved with, or needs to have a more involved role in? Or do you think, well, the government has the chief responsibility here?
I definitely agree with Damola because, I mean, the private sector has a huge role to play in terms of awareness raising. And funny enough, we're all representatives of our society. So, you know, everyone in the private sector, or even public sector, you know, is protected by that law. So it's also important for people within that sector to push for it. But I agree that, you know, private sector is the one leading it. If it had been left for government, it would never get passed. And I want to just, you know, make reference to what Dakore had earlier said in terms of how long it took for the law to be passed in or signed in 2015. Actually, that law took 12 years. And it was first the Violence Against Women's Law. But because it targeted women alone, it was thrown out a couple of times. So, you know, civil society organizations had to revamp the name and then made it into Violence Against Persons Prohibition.
It makes you wonder why they had a problem with it being Violence Against Women to begin with. But okay, that's a different conversation.
I mean, when it has to do with women. When it has to do with women, you know, there are sentiments. Same thing for the Gender and Equal Opportunities Bill. You know, because the bill is asking for 35% representation in politics, women should be able to confer citizenship on their spouses and children. Women should be able to, you know, access certain loans and determine how many kids they want to give birth to. Hmm. When it comes to women's rights, there's just a bit of pushback. Like, women should not be asking for too much, as though we're not equal to men in society. But not to derail from the conversation, I would say that, you know, of course, private sector has a huge role to play in terms of getting the remaining states and are yet to adopt a bill to actually adopt it. And private sector can actually be accountability partners as well, because I believe in passing or adopting laws and implementing them. Hmm. Because for some states that have adopted this law, for instance, you still get cases of rape thrown out of court. Hmm. Why? Because they're not applying the law. So we also need to train as much as possible law enforcement agencies and the judicial system on what the law itself says, how to interpret it, and how to protect women who come to the court of law under the protection of the law.
Now, Hamid, we got 28 states to get on board, right? And there are 8 states to go. What strategies worked in getting those first 28 on board? I mean, Dakore said, well, it's not as if I can call my governor and say on the phone, yo, you need to do this, you know. But I mean, how did we get those first 28 to do it?
So I think that actually, perhaps Dakore or one of the other panelists is better suited to this particular question.
Okay.
Sandra.
Okay.
My involvement has pretty much only been with corporations, private sector, not on the legislative side of things. I can offer a perspective in terms of how the private sector can help contribute to the domestication in the remaining 8 states, and then the actual execution, implement, or rather enforcement in all of the states on a national level. So perhaps I can actually just start there.
Yeah, just start there, then I'll go to someone else with that question. Go ahead.
Excellent. So I want to take a step back and say that when you look at the private sector, corporations, you know, I'm talking about like banks, oil companies and whatnot. They are very much involved in a number of social justice issues and causes, such as the Violence Against Persons Prohibition Act, or at least gender equity and ending violence against persons and discrimination, and trying to contribute in terms of equitable situations for women in particular, and maybe vulnerable groups as well. Now, The fact of the matter is that most private sector players, investors, for instance, corporations, will feel that something like the VAP Act is something that should be driven by civil society. Damola and Maynuna, for instance, and they are willing to make contributions, perhaps from a financial perspective, donations, charitable donations to shelters, maybe even to special arms of the police that deal with gender-based violence or violence against children and vulnerable groups. Corporations are very happy to give money to solve a problem, usually. Especially if the decision makers feel that it's something that really, truly resonates with them. at a personal level. However, I think we need to ask or demand more of the private sector. It's one thing for there to be a law. It's another thing for that law to have been domesticated in states. It's an entirely different issue for it to be enforced. And then on top of that, it's an entirely different issue for people to feel that there are genuine consequences for breaching these laws. So let's take a digital and social media, for instance, a very topical issue, right? Cyberbullying is a form of violence, at least from my perspective.
Yes, it is.
Other panelists will agree.
Mm-hmm.
What protections, what are we seeing in terms of content moderation, people being able to report incidences, and how much are the, for instance, the social media companies investing in terms of teams to moderate content and the behavior of their own users? But then, aside from that, if you are a brand or a private individual that's highly popular and you have a social media presence, there's going to be engagement and conversations under your handle. Are you allowing people to bully other people under your handle? I think I'm not young and trendy, but I think it's called a sub, right? So when people are now tweeting under your tweets and they're bullying entire groups of people, women in particular, and then perhaps certain ethnic groups, there is a responsibility that that individual or that brand has, I feel. And then on top of it, there's obviously a responsibility clearly stated in the content policies of the various large social media companies, Twitter, Facebook, and whatnot. But how prepared are they to actually enforce that? Do they have enough content moderators? Now let's look at the corporations, say, in Nigeria. Do people feel that there are consequences for their bad behavior outside of the office when they get back to the office? Or do we just sort of leave it at the front door? It's okay what you did. Whatever you did outside stays outside, and you are more than welcome to come and continue life, as just like nothing has happened, like you've not been involved in an issue outside of the office. I think that we can take a different perspective. I see this happening in Kenya and in South Africa in particular, where corporations are being called to account and to tell people, listen, what are you putting in place in your own corporate? Not just for the relations between your own staff members, because there is bullying in the corporate space as well. I can confidently speak that every organization frowns on anything like physical violence. Mm. But what are the consequences? And then how do you extend that, not just within your corporation, but into your value chain? So let's say, for instance, or let's use another example. If you're talking about sustainability, and this is definitely an element of the SDG, Sustainable Development Goals, ending violence against vulnerable groups, women in particular, children, contributes immensely to SDGs. So if your corporation claims to be supportive of the SDGs and you have adopted the logo, and the various bits of iconography on your website, your reporting and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, as the chief executive of that corporation, what you're doing to extend that thinking and that behavior across your value chain. I'm talking to your suppliers, to your customers even. How are you helping to enhance everyone's awareness and understanding of what's really at stake?
Let's leave that question as a food for thought, because we're out of time. But ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you so much for joining this roundtable today, and a huge thank you to Global Citizen for putting this together in partnership with Nigeria Info. So Maymuna, thank you very much. She's the country director of Global Citizen, and she's been very gracious with her time. Thank you as well, Hamid Yaya Abubakar. That's the man's voice you just heard. Hamid is the managing director, Our Way Forward. Thank you to Damola Lapite, who is the founder of the Spring Center, and also to Dakora Akande, who is an actor and SBGV advocate. I'm a huge fan, by the way, Dakore. Thank you to everybody who's joined us today, and have yourselves a fantastic evening.
And you too. Thank you.
All right, Lagos, let's bring you the news at 6 o'clock when we're done. Of course, we will hand you over to Rufai for conversations. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Don't go away.